Lambeau Field, the Frozen Tundra, Vince Lombardi. Those are legendary names in the history of the Green Bay Packers, as are the players from the Lombardi era who turned the team from an afterthought into repeat national champions.
A new book by a Wisconsin mother and daughter team tells another side of that story. They focus on the women who were part of that legend, from players' wives to a local property owner who offered housing to the team's black players.
Laura Kostelnik-Biskupic and Catherine Biskupic join us now. They have a personal connection to the story. Late Packers defensive tackle Ron Kostelnik was Laura's father and Catherine's grandfather. Laura is a longtime sports writer. Catherine's a comedy writer from Wisconsin, now based in Los Angeles. Their new book is called Lambeau Ladies, the Boundary-Breaking Women Behind Lombardi's Packers. Catherine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
And Laura, thanks for joining us in the studio.
I'm happy to be here.
You start the book with a story about Catherine and a tattered baseball hat she brought to you during a Packers reunion game. She didn't take it in the direction some people might. Share that story.
She was so excited to show me this hat, and she came up and said, "Mom, I got all of the autographs." And I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yes, I did." And I looked at the hat, and I said, "What autographs did you get?" And she said, "Cherry Starr, Ruth Ann Skoronski." She had gotten all of the autographs from the Packer wives.
What do you remember about that moment? You were 8, I think?
I was very little. What I remember is I saw them, and they were so elegant and carried themselves with such grace that I thought, as a little girl, they must be famous. So I approached them and knew I wanted to know more from a very young age.
And now we have this book. Laura, what was it that made you want to make them as famous as Catherine thought they should be in the first place?
I would say it all happened on an afternoon. The Packers, the greatest team in the history of the NFL.
Unbiased opinion.
Unbiased opinion, right. They really treat their alumni well. I think they were the first team to have a Hall of Fame. And they would have these reunions. And so it was at the reunion, 50th reunion of the first Super Bowl team. They invited players and wives, and they also invited the widows. So during a gap in the festivities, I found myself with Ruth Pitts, the wife of Elijah Pitts, Vicki Aldridge Nelson, the wife of Lionel Aldridge, and my mom, Peggy Kostelnik. And I said, "Why don't we do a little reunion tour while we're here?" So we drove around Green Bay and we stopped at on Lori Lane at the Village Apartments. And Ruth and Vicki got out. I took their picture and they started talking about their lives there. And it was so fascinating, the pathos and the strength and the humor and the friendship. And really, that's what we mostly wanted to celebrate, is these friendships among these women and how they relied on them and how it got them through all of the great times and the struggling times.
And your mom, Catherine, kind of grew up in this scene, right? What was it like for you researching? What was it as you started to unpack these stories, interview people, dig into the histories here?
Mm-hmm. It was really special because I got to connect with my grandma more and hear her stories and then hear all about her friends as well. And then my grandpa Ron passed away when I was 3. And so the fact that I got to dig into more of his story as well, even with this, because he took all these photos and he took all these photos of the families as well. And so it was kind of special to, in a way, collaborate with him as well.
Now, Laura, this story picks up with the beginning of the Lombardi era, and this may sound alien to people now who think, oh, the Green Bay Packers, of course, they're local legends. It wasn't that way. What were the local attitudes to the Packers that these players and their wives were moving into?
That was extra fascinating to me, is to interview the women who bridged the before times, and then when Coach Lombardi came in 1959, the before times, they had to celebrate post-game in private places because the fans were not quite so nice to them. And then this explosion of interest in the Packers and the winning streak that they went on, and their lives changed completely.
Catherine, some serious issues come up in the book. One, Packers in general at this time have a hard time renting a place because nobody wants to rent to somebody who's going to be there for only half the year. The black players. This is not long after the NFL side of what was then pro football was integrated. The black players couldn't find places to live. What kind of things did they encounter?
Well, that's what was so fascinating about the origin story of the Village apartments, is they were managed by this woman named Flo Bettis, and she found out that these black players were having trouble finding housing, and she was appalled. So she put up listings all around saying she would rent, and then she contacted Vince Lombardi and said, "I will rent to any player who needs it." And so she didn't just become a housing manager to these players. She created a community. And her house was right next to the apartments, and they had a bar in the back of the house, like a good Wisconsin family. And so they would invite the players after these long days to come over and have a drink. And they were also down the street from the rectory. So at the end of the day, the priests and players and the Bettis family would all be having a drink, and Coach Lombardi would call her to see if all the players were in for the night because they had a curfew. And he would say, "Florence, is everyone in?" And she would say, "Yes, they are in for the night."
And black or white, this was an alien environment for a lot of the players. I love one anecdote. I think a player from Idaho got drafted, and he and his wife, or maybe fiance at that point, are, "That's great." And then they pull out their map to try to figure out where Green Bay, Wisconsin is.
So many of them had to look up Green Bay on a map. Even my mom and dad, my mom and dad went to the University of Cincinnati. They graduated, they got married, and they left for Green Bay all in the same weekend. And my mom said that so many of her relatives gave them electric blankets for...
they thought she was moving to Antarctica.
They did. They did.
We're talking to Laura Kostelnik-Biskupic and Catherine Biskupic, the mother and daughter authors of the new book, Lambeau Ladies, The Boundary-Breaking Women Behind Lombardi's Packers. Let's start naming some names here. Elaine Robinson, the first black wife of a Packers player to move to Green Bay and stay. This is in the early 1960s. Catherine, can you tell us some about her experience and what you saw in her story?
Mm-hmm. Well, we interviewed Dave Robinson. He loved his wife so much and talked about how it was an equal partnership. Everything was 50-50. Some really funny stories. But what he said was that Ruth Pitts came the season before, and she left to teach in Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And when she came back, because they said, you know, might not be comfortable for you in Green Bay during the season. But once Ruth came back and she had a friend, they were together. And that's a theme throughout all these stories, is that friendship gets you through these challenging times.
Right. And this, before we go back to more names, this is the camaraderie here. These are people who are moving from a place, all different places, to a strange place where they don't know anybody. How important was that team building, not just for the players on the roster, but for their wives and families?
It was almost even more critical for the wives and families, because they were moving here and their husbands were extremely occupied by a very demanding coach. I think there's a story of Dana Caffey. Her husband dropped her off at their new apartment complex, her and the baby and all of their stuff, and he had to hustle off to a meeting because you could not be late to any Coach Lombardi meetings.
Vince Lombardi didn't tolerate tardiness?
Did not tolerate tardiness.
I had no idea.
And actually, I think none of his players or the wives of the players tolerate tardiness either because of that. But anyway, she had to lug all her stuff up into the apartment building, and there was a veteran wife up there watching all this happen, Barbara Gregg, and she later knocked on her door and they tease each other. They became lifelong friends, but she said, "Yes, I waited for you to lug all that stuff up there. I'm going to come to you." Yeah. I knew what I was doing.
And a big part of bringing the players' wives together was the wife of the coach, Marie Lombardi. What kind of role, Catherine, did she play in kind of making people feel welcome and included in the Packer family?
Mm-hmm. We interviewed their son, Vince Lombardi Jr., and he talked about how Marie took her role very seriously, and she had so much experience by the time they came to Green Bay, and so she would organize the same way that Vince took it seriously to create a family among his teammates. She did the same for the wives, and she would host luncheons, and she would check on some of the wives when they were going through. Gwen Jeter struggled with some miscarriages, and she talked about really supporting her through that. They gave rattles to new babies. They were just very much about family.
A funny part of the story, the mink stoles. Vince Lombardi wanted a look among his players and their wives, apparently.
Oh my gosh, I think he knew exactly what he was doing. There's this famous picture of him sitting in an office chair with an expensive suit on and a big grin on his face, and all of these well-dressed women wearing these mink stoles that he gave him, surrounding him, and that picture was in Life magazine. I think he wanted to project this image of elegance and sophistication. He wanted that for the NFL, and that he did that in Green Bay, the smallest city in the NFL, I think was remarkable.
Now, Bart Starr, of course, a legend in the Packers world, he maintained a lifelong connection with Wisconsin, as did his wife, Cherry Starr, philanthropy and more. How does she fit into the story, Catherine?
Well, we were set up to interview her, and we knew she was so elegant and classy. We'd met her at different reunions, and so we dressed up a little bit for that Zoom. And sadly, her assistant came on and said she wasn't feeling well, but was really excited to talk to us, and could we just push a few days? And she passed away a couple days later. But we were able to talk to her son, and the biggest takeaway we had from that interview was her amazing sense of humor. She was hilarious, and she loved to prank people. And he told this story. Once Bart Starr became a coach, she had to go to a lot of big events, and there would be these wealthy people there, and Cherry Starr hated pretentiousness, but she was prepared for it. So there was this woman bragging about her wealth, bragging about her art collection. She waited for her to turn, and then she put in her salad a rubber cockroach that she had in her purse, hid it in there. The woman turns around, starts eating her salad, and screams. And Cherry goes, "Oh my goodness, where did that come from?" But Cherry Starr carried a cockroach around in her purse in case somebody needed to be put in their place.
And she also was a friend to stray cats, I think, around the city.
Absolutely. That is a story we heard as well, that she and I was just thinking with the cockroach story that Coach Bart Starr was sitting there watching this whole thing. He knew exactly how it was going, just kind of shook his head. And I think he was as amused by her. And so this situation with the stray cats, he drove her around Birmingham and she talked restaurants into setting up some food stations for stray cats.
And the one who told that story, John Gillespie, who helped found Rawhide, he said, "Do you ever have somebody else take her around to do that?" And he's like, "She is my wife. No one else is going to take my wife around to feed feral cats."
And you mentioned the Rawhide Ranch for youth. That was a big part of their lifelong connection to Wisconsin. And that was not just Bart. That was Cherry, too. Oh,
it was. And what a foundation they established there. That program has grown so much. It's become an essential part of the community. And I think their legacy there, they set it up so well that their legacy continues and their support continues, even though they're no longer here in person.
Mm-hmm. The most personal part of the book, of course, I imagine for you was Peggy Kostelnik, your mom, your grandma. You presumably knew some part of her story coming into this. What kind of things did you learn about her along the way and her experience as one of those Lombardi-era Packer Lambo ladies?
I learned that she... I've always known her to be well-dressed. I knew that she had like a little crisis of confidence when she first moved to Green Bay, and she called her mom in a panic and said, "I do not have the right clothes. I'm dressed like a college kid. These ladies are all very sophisticated. Please send me some clothes." And I thought that was a very funny story.
Well, and to be around the Lombardis, was not a bad idea, right?
Well, and Marie Lombardi hosted a luncheon for the ladies every year, and all of them talked about this luncheon and how very carefully they chose their outfits. And how much they looked forward to it as well, though.
Mm-hmm. And there's a story in the book about what your grandpa, Catherine, did with his money for his first contract and draft. Where did that go?
Yeah, I loved hearing that story. He took that money and bought my grandma an engagement ring, and he proposed to her on the steps in college. And he had taken her to Culver, Pennsylvania as well to meet his family. But it was also when his contract, he got his contract for the Packers, but he was 20 years old. And so it needed to be co-signed by my great-grandma, Bubba Kostelnik, and she didn't want to sign it. And so Peggy witnessed all that as well, and luckily she did sign it.
Another thing that struck me as funny is we think of this era of pro sports, there are nutritionists and cooks and maybe personal dietitians for the players. The wives and the people involved, they were sending bagged lunches for all the players. They were the nutrition team, right?
That's right. And they talked about those meals. Still into protein, but it was like egg sandwiches and mayonnaise, chicken hearts. They just talked about gagging, making these meals, but wanting to support their husbands. And then they'd send them off, but they would go watch practice as well together. And they bonded over that.
Right. And there is the bonding over not just setting them off with those bagged lunches, but how they did in the games and watching together and hoping for the best. How did that help build that camaraderie, rooting for the team?
Well, for one thing, it was stressful to them and unusual to them that people knew when their husbands were going to be out of town, because they would get the Packer schedule, they would know when the away games were, and they would know their husbands were going to be out of town. And some of them were kind of freaked out by that.
Fair.
Understandably, right? So they'd have these little slumber parties. They would sleep over at each other's houses, and I think they had watch parties too. They called them hen parties. Mm-hmm. Back then they would take turns hosting. I think Joanne Weatherwax talked about how she was from California. She would, in her bag, pack beer and avocados
and tortillas
to bring for these hen parties that she would host.
I want to talk to the two of you now about the experience in writing this book as a mother-daughter team. Catherine, what was it like doing this work with your mom?
Oh, we loved it. My mom's more sports journalism background, mm-hmm. and I come from a comedy background, so it was wonderful to combine those two worlds and know that these were, right away, these were such funny women, but also wanted to capture that history. And so it was pretty natural right away for us to collaborate, and we would take turns writing each chapter, and then the other would edit, and came together that way.
And Laura, this multi-generational experience, your parents are part of this story, and now you're sharing the work on it with your daughter.
Not only that, but it took us 3 years for beginning to end for this project. And in that time, Catherine got engaged, and she got married, then she got pregnant, and then she had the baby. So our three-generational project became a four-generational project. We had a new little Lambo lady.
That's right.
Well, congratulations on the new Lambo lady and the book. Thank you both for joining us.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
That was Laura Kostelnik-Biskupic and Catherine Biskupic. Their new book is Lambo Ladies, The Boundary-Breaking Women Behind Lombardi's Packers.